You're listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with me, your host, Jo Britton. Your mojo is your energy, your enthusiasm, and your motivation so that you've got the ability to get results for your personal and professional life without freaking out and burning out. Tune in for practical advice on how to find your mojo and keep it. So what do you do when at one time you couldn't walk through Canal Street in Manchester without seeing or hearing your name, your face is painted everywhere, bars are named after you, and then your name all but disappears and nobody really knows why, and you just want to stop everything and find a bit of a cubby hole and take the batteries out? This was my guest on today's episode of Mojo Matters, and the fascinating story of a Manchester drag queen who nearly gave everything up but was determined to get her mojo back. I'm joined by the very brilliant Belinda Scandal, who this year, in fact, as we're recording, this month is celebrating 25 years in the drag business and is also founder and presenter of Your Manchester TV, and we're going to talk about that. It's the number one channel that brings together the city of Manchester and community to talk. It's brilliant. And it's usually, we were just saying before we hit record, it's usually Belinda that does the interviewing. And I've been on the TV studio sofa with you, being interviewed by you for my Minute of Mojo. So I'm a bit nervous, actually, about doing the interviewing today. Belinda Scandal, you're one of the most fun people to work with. You're an absolute legend. Welcome to Mojo Matters.
Thank you very much. Hello. How are you? It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? We are literally flipping the coins over today. You're interviewing me. I've interviewed you. I think I'm equally as nervous as you are, to be honest.
Because you're not used to being interviewed, are you?
So no.
Tell me, how's your mojo today? I always ask you that question.
I know. It's something that you'd never kind of think about until I met you. And that's what's been great about getting to know you, because normally you just say, where are you at in the day? You know, you all right? And you go, yeah, I'm all right. But, you know, actually putting it down to where is your mojo? How is your mojo? Makes you think. And it also makes you think instantly, if you are feeling a bit towards the one numbers, how you can improve it and everything. And that's since I've met you, and that's, you've been, you really have.
Oh, thank you. So you're good today, because I know today when we're recording, it's actually, you go live at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday, don't you, for Your Manchester. So it'll be a really busy day for you.
Wednesdays are a non-stop day for me, literally. All the preparation. It's the thing about the programme that we do, and I always say this to try and make people almost pity and feel sorry for me. we get to Wednesday and we put the show out. Wednesday at 9 o'clock, everything that you've put the work in to for that Wednesday is then forgotten about, because you're straight on the next programme then.
Yeah.
It's like doing your favourite painting and then somebody going, right, okay, next one now.
Yeah. And I guess you don't get time to just fully appreciate that hard work and what you've done, because you're on to the next one. So sometimes I think it's just take a little breath and go, do you know what? What an incredible show that we've just produced, and try and catch up with yourself.
Yeah, but you knowing me know that I don't do that. I'm very self-critical. So I don't, I try my best to be the producer and presenter for that hour. And then I leave it a day. And then on Friday, I watch the programme back with the third eye as an audience member on the TV at home. And I try and sit there and not be critical about the technical side or anything like that. I try and watch it as a viewer, which is almost impossible.
Yeah, because you know all the behind the scenes, and it's been super exciting when I've been in the studio to actually watch how you put this together. And, you know, it's live, things go wrong, don't they? And
they do.
You just carry on. And I think also, I think you bring such great sense of humour to that as well, because, you know, for some of us, it would be like, this is a total disaster, you know, if there's like the tech things that go wrong, but you just sail through it with your sense of humour. And yeah, it's really a really great show that you put together.
It's what I call not having any other option.
I know sometimes
I know it's live, I know it's got to go out, and I know we've got people that we've got to please and got to make happy, that are like our sponsors or our affiliates, we've got to keep them, you know, happy as well. So Yeah, what started off as a little hobby is now a full-on business, which is a lovely, lovely business, but it's hard graft. And as a drag queen, we're normally used to just going out in the evening, playing a bit of music, doing your little show and going home. Whereas this is like, you know, it's a full-time job, which I never thought I'd get in the position of getting, really.
Well, it is a business, isn't it? So yeah. Let's just pick up on this. Because I think you've got the most fascinating story about your career that I've heard started as a bit of a happy accident 25 years ago, and I love it. So can you tell us a bit more about how was Belinda Scandal born? What happened?
It was a happy accident, a totally happy accident. I was very content with working my way up the musical theatre route. I started off many, many years ago here in Manchester playing a character called Gavroche in Les Miserables, a little boy in the musical before my voice broke and everything. And I was went and did the circuit around the sort of piers, as they used to be then, you know, the end of the pier shows. And there was a show on there called the Cannon and Ball Show.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go on there way before they went on there. So like very, very warm up for them. It used to be me, and then a Danny LaRue impersonator would go on after me. But this Danny LaRue impersonator had to have lots of alcohol to cover the nerves to get on the stage. And I'm in the middle one day of singing Love Changes Everything in a tuxedo, looking very smart, very Michael Ball-esque, and living my best life, really, I suppose. Yeah. I heard this almighty crash from behind me. They wheeled this Perspex staircase on, and this Danny LaRue impersonator fell down the Perspex staircase, fell down it, went to go up it apparently to get back up, and went over the other side of it and fell down it again. So at which point, I finished my Love Changes Everything, and I wasn't asked. I was literally, I saw this drag mother impersonator on the floor being stripped of her costume, it being put on me. You know, when you look back in it and you think about Cannon and Ball and the legends like Billy Pearce all in this show, and they're putting me in drag, I suppose, and I've got to go on and replicate Danny LaRue.
Oh, my goodness!
It went from there, and then the main sort of changing point was at the end of the week, my wage had tripled for no other reason than I was now classed as a speciality act.
Oh.
Press. So that was the basic story of it. And then 25 years later, I've worked and I've worked all over the place. I've been to Vegas. I've been to, where else have I been? Cyprus, Ibiza, Gran Canaria. I had my own bar in Gran Canaria for a while. You know, it's only when I talk about it that I realise just how strange my career has been, really.
You couldn't write that, really, could you? I mean, honestly, was that really scary for you, though? It must have been, like...
To be honest, at the time, I didn't have time to be scared.
Think about it.
Because they were literally playing this overture of about 3 minutes, hamming it all up, you know, but Danny LaRue was going to be on the stage. And I'm like, I'm trying to be Michael Ball, not Danny LaRue. and then I was on. So I did my 15 minutes as Danny LaRue, and that was it. And I got, you know, tour after tour after tour.
And in that moment, was Belinda Scandal was born? When did the name come?
Well, Belinda used to be Brenda.
Oh, right. I didn't know.
When I first set it up, it was very, very simple. My favourite sort of rough lady in my life, if you like, my proper Manchester lady was my auntie Brenda.
Oh.
She had the red hair. She used to have dark black hair, right? Proper dark black hair, like yourself. And she arrived at a family gathering and she dyed her hair this brilliant sort of red, this gingerish red. And I was fascinated. She had the big hair and everything. And so that was Brenda, and it was Brenda Scandal. The scandal was simply because I needed something that sounded a bit like Savage, and that's where the scandal came from. Then when I went on the cruise ship a few years later, they wanted something a bit posher. So name Belinda. And that's as simple as it was.
I love it. They wanted something a bit posher. So you went from Brenda to Belinda. Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. So then you were saying, this career just took you around the world, didn't it? So yeah. As you said, from like Las Vegas, like everywhere. How did you end up back in Manchester then? You'd had your own bar, and what happened?
Well, I had my own bar in Gran Canaria, and I think it was the banks crashing and everything. It was around that time, I think about 2000, 2008, something like that. And people were kind of not coming. So it was either basically like what we did during lockdown, either push on through or get the money out of it and start your own, you know, your own life, really. So we got a show together called Abba Mia, which was loosely based on Mamma Mia. Around for a few weeks in Gran Canaria. I was going through a very rocky relationship at the time after finding out that my other half had basically been renting himself out. And so I just escaped. I just left. I got my dog all chipped. And the reason I stayed there for that long doing the Mamma Mia show was because we bought this dog called Biscuit when we were in Ibiza. We took him to Gran Canaria simply so we could have a bit more time to get back to the UK. We ended up staying in Gran Canaria and getting a bar for 7 years. By that time, everything had sort of ran out for the dog. We needed to get the dog back, so I stayed there even longer. We got the dog back. I came back to Manchester. And it really was like starting all over again because nobody knew who I was other than I was this Belinda from Gran Canaria. That's all they used to do, Belinda from Gran Canaria. And that was it. It was like starting from scratch again. It was the weirdest time in 2010 that I'd ever gone through.
But then you got so well known, didn't you? Canal Street and the Gay Village. And so how did you establish yourself? What did you do?
I was the only drag queen that was singing. There's no maths or science to it at all. I was the only one that was singing. Everybody else was miming. And in fact, when I came back to Manchester, I started off in a show at the New Union. And they had me dressed up as Alexandra Burke, as, you know, and I was having to mime, and I never mimed, and I hated the miming, but they had me doing it all, and I had to do it because I needed to earn a living again. And it was bizarre. But once I finally said to them, look, I sing, I want to sing, they let me sing. As soon as they let me sing, somebody approached me and said, right, well, we've got this bar. You can have this bar. You can have your name all over it. Do what you want with it. You've got carte blanche. Do what you want with it. And I did. And from there, it's gone on from bar to bar to bar. And yeah, it's been brilliant. But, you know, it's not been easy because that you want ever is easy, is it? So
no, that's amazing. So behind then, you're saying it's not been easy. Behind all what you see, like, and when you see it's the glitz and the glamour and things, but things have obviously not been easy. And I guess there's been some horrible stuff as well that has happened. What sort of challenges did you face then?
Well, when I came back, I was meeting new people and new friends. And I always keep a small circle of friends and a large circle of colleagues. And it's the way that I've always been because I don't let people get too close. But what was happening was these people that I was very, very close to, the guy that was dressing me for my quick change shows, he was not very well. He then passed away. Then a few years later, this drag queen that I got to know, everyone's just kind of dying, really. I mean, I don't want to dress it up as anything, you know, dramatic or anything, but it was literally a case of everybody was going away. And we were all working our absolute socks off to make the brand of Belinda, you know, full everybody's mind. And yet people were just passing away. And the crux that sent me really under was my best friend. And my best man at my wedding, he just suddenly, I was supposed to meet him one day and he was never, ever late. He worked in business. He knew what time was. He knew how important my time was. He was never, ever late. And this Saturday came around where I was supposed to meet him and he just was not there. And I was like, it's not right. It turns out he'd passed away a few hours ago. And it was, do you know, I say this to people, and people don't believe it. I felt a twinge in my arm at around about three, a really bad twinge in my arm at about 3 o'clock in the morning. And it turns out that was when he passed. Wow. So, some sort of serendipity, I suppose.
Gosh, so what happened? How did you cope with that? So this is your best friend. And
I didn't cope. I literally didn't cope. I left a huge chunk of my career behind where I was successful, where I was, for want of a better word, the belle of the ball. Do you know what I mean? I was the star of the show. People would come and see me. It was in my own bar. It was my show. And I literally had to leave. And I moved on to a bar that I didn't think anybody would ever come and see me at, just so that I could keep the money coming in. But I didn't want to be, you know, dealing with all the, hi, everybody, how are you? And all that shit with it. And I went working at this bar and I was content with that. Of course, it's gone the other way now and people flock again, touch wood and thankfully, to come and see me again now, which is great. But yeah, it is a rocky road, but that's life. And it's life as a clown, which I always say that I am. I never call myself really too much of a drag queen. I'm a clown. But then tears of a clown, I suppose, really. You know, you're putting your best face on, you're caking yourself in this makeup, you're putting your best foot forward. But it's tricky because, you know, you're a person inside.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you just touching upon, you were just saying like that so many people know you, right? You must like, you know, you walk around, you must have fans and probably, I don't know, do you ever come across difficult people or?
Well, yeah. I mean, a few years ago, this cheek isn't my original cheek. I had a stalker for a while.
Gosh.
Who first started off, I thought it was a giggle. He came into my show where I was doing a show and rugby tackled my ankles. He didn't knock me over or anything. He was literally just hugging my ankles for like 5 minutes. Then he disappeared. Then he started following the other half. Then one day I was across the road somewhere and I saw him about to speak to my other half. I thought I'm having none of it. Next minute, he erupted on both of us. And there's nothing worse. It's the worst thing in my life, I think, than coming round in an ambulance and looking at your other half and his face is out there because he'd been beaten up as well.
Gosh.
Yeah. That was, I mean, it's, people say, well, if you're buying into the fame game, you've got to expect this, this and that. But I don't think that anybody should ever expect that.
No, not at all. So you've literally had a reconstructed cheekbone, have you? Then?
Yeah, they went like that through my eye and through the top of my mouth to put this plate in there, which it tells the weather. When it's too hot, it gets warm. When it's too cold, it's like a cold spoon being put on your face.
Really?
Yeah.
How has that affected you singing? And
It didn't because I let anything affect my career. I've always lived, my main mantra in life is there's no illness in show business. So we had this event around about 3 days later and it was basically a remash of Loose Women. And there's pictures of me sat behind this counter and I've literally got my eye is red. The actual eye is red. This is before I'd had the surgery and everything to get it fixed. And I still did the show because people expect me to be there. And, you know, I made sure I was facing a certain way, which is that way, not that way. And, you know, I made sure it was, you know, you've just got to carry on. Life's too short not to carry on.
Where does that resilience come from, though? Because it's other people, some other people, if you've gone through what you've gone through, and that's a really traumatic incident, you've beaten where you've got now a plate in you.
And a bit of a lopsided mouth as well.
Have you? I can't tell. Right. But I mean, that's big. It's pretty traumatic. And yet you say you've got this mantra that there's no illness in show business and you've picked yourself up, you've put yourself at the best camera angle, whatever. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from?
My mother. Yeah, my mother. I was six when I lost my father.
Gosh.
And, you know, being around my mother, how she brought us up with such strength. And it's, you know, I watched her. I've always been a watcher of people and I watched her. And the strength and the way that she made everything as perfect as she possibly can. And she did. And she's still to this day so super strong. And it's, you know, she's a pain in the ass sometimes. She is so strong. And it's like, wow, how you ticked through from day to day, two kids. You know, you've lost your husband. Never mind me losing my father. You've lost your husband. He was only 36 when he died, which, you know, was no age at all. But she did, and she plowed through it. And I take all of that strength and I try and, I suppose, as an actor and entertainer, replicate that strength as much as I can to get me through the difficult times.
And it's amazing that because often I talk about this, like to help me, I go and find people that inspire me, you know, despite the life challenges that they've had, and they inspire me. And you're one of them, you know, like, so you know, being introduced to you and getting to work with you is just absolutely fabulous. So your sounds like your mum is incredibly important to you in your life and where you take your strength from. Who else inspires you?
Well, you know, there's been a few people, my grandma, my nana, family, the strong women. I think as Northwesterners, we're all brought up in some way or form around these strong women that basically don't let nothing appear. That's the word, appear, to get them down. And, they were all super strong women. And it's just, you know, the women in my life have been more stronger for me than the men in my life. And I suppose it's just brilliant. Just Northern women. You just don't get better than Northern women.
You don't. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
The Northern woman. And also, what I really like about what you've just said is a lot of people would go, when I ask that question, they start thinking about, you know, some big celebrity or, you know, somebody that they put up on a pedestal that, you know, and actually, I'm a really big believer in find people around you, and yours are family members, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
And I really like that because you don't have to look very far sometimes, you know, to everyday people to give you that inspiration and that boost and that motivation, and surrounding yourself by those people, you know,
yeah,
to help you. That's brilliant. So just how about, you know, in your industry, I mean, I know you said, oh, you don't, you know, say you're a drag queen or whatever, but lots of people will watch shows like RuPaul's Drag Race. And
yeah,
has that changed the landscape for?
It made life trickier for a while. Yeah, because it was all about the look. Whereas I prided myself on always not having the perfect look. That's what I always say, Belinda, you should never see Belinda and think, wow. You should always see Belinda and think, very good. But that's the way it should be. Because,
yeah,
you know, this whole character that I've developed is based on a failed cruise ship singer with three kids that she never sees. So she's had problems with that. She's been divorced. And that, you know, it's got to be quite a not right story, because that's the drama, isn't it?
I love that. I really love that, because there is this whole, like, you know, it's all the thing, like the Instagram life and all, you know, this whole like perfection thing. And then people start trying to live up to something that's not reality as well.
It's not living up to it. I think with the RuPaul thing, I think they want to replicate. They're all drones. The majority of the modern drag queens these days are drones.
Yeah.
They're the same. They're not different enough. You couldn't employ modern day drag queens for the majority of it and say, right, we've got 2 45-minute sets for you. Go and fill them. They wouldn't be able to do it. They could probably do 3 songs and that'd be it. But they couldn't do 45 minutes. And this is the way that RuPaul's, you know, he ends his show with this lip sync. It's one song. And some of them don't even know how to do that. Some of them can't perform to that. And lip syncing for me, I was doing when I was like a dot in my bedroom with an airbrush. Do you know what I mean? It's not difficult. And it's changed the landscape because it's made everybody up the game, which is fine. I've gone the opposite way and downgraded the game. That's why I always wear the little suit jackets, never these big flamboyant things with all sorts going on, because otherwise I'm never going to stand out. So... Okay. Yeah. Stand out for the wrong reason. You don't have to stand out necessarily for the right reason.
Be different.
Yeah. And I always say, I'll worry when people aren't talking about me, not when they are talking about me. So they can slag me off to the hilt. I do not care, because they're talking about me. When they're mentioning me, then I'll worry.
Yeah, brilliant. And I think it's like this. Just be courageous enough to, like, go against the grain, really, isn't it?
This is where the red hair was another thing as well. When I very first started, the red hair, like I say, was taken from my Auntie Brenda, but more so it's because I was watching all these drag queens that had like Elvira hair, or it was the Lily Savage hair, or the Monroe hair. It was all them colours. Nobody seemed to do ginger or red.
I love it. And it so suits you.
Thank you.
It's amazing. So then how we met, and you were probably doing this before, but I didn't realise, we've just had like 2 years of absolute craziness, haven't we? And the pandemic hit, and you're out there, I guess, like, and you're entertaining in bars and all that's like shut down, but you have this amazing TV show, Your Manchester, bringing everybody together. Tell us about this fabulous show, and how did it start?
So there was there's two ways that it started, really. There was we were making a little sitcom a few years ago for the YouTube. It was called Being Belinda. And it was basically this ham up of Belinda and having problems with the family and all stuff like that. And one of my friends in that, she was called Nana. And we literally had to film a scene where we were sat on a couch. And we forgot to stop the camera rolling. We were making it ourselves. We forgot to stop the camera rolling. And we watched it back the next day. And we said, we should do a chat show. We should do a chat show. I had a word with Ian, who runs Canal Street Online. He said, brilliant idea. Let's make it happen. He started filtering me through to basically go into these shows without permission and just basically putting the microphone in front of these celebrities and going, can I ask you a question? Like that. And it began like that. It was called Showbiz Scandals. We were still working on the Your Manchester idea. And it just developed. Sadly, the person that was sat on the couch with me, Nana, she passed away. So you become more driven then because you feel like you're doing it for them. And it was born out of wanting to talk and people not talking enough. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche these days that people need to talk, but that's literally what we were drumming ourselves up for. Mm. We were having problems. Everybody that I knew was having problems, but nobody was talking about it. Yeah. Just wearing these wigs, we were just like laughing. Oh, we'll have to have a vodka. Let's drink. It's all fine and dandy. And it wasn't. And so that's where it was born out of. Then we decided to take it a bit bigger and make it, you know, what it is now and make it a proper talk show, chat show. We always say we never do interviews on Your Manchester. We're just having a chat. Mm. That's what we pride us. We got a message today. We were doing an interview today. Can you send the questions through that you're going to be asking me? No, because I never prepare questions because I'm not interviewing. I'm chatting.
Mm. You don't. And I know as well. Because yeah. I know when you said, come in the studio. And then I think, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah.
And nothing's prepped, is it? It's just right. And we go. And I think yeah. I love that about what you do and yourself and your co-presenters, and there's just such a lovely vibe. And I think particularly over the last 2 years, it's just been really important that people keep connected socially. So
we thought the viewers would increase, would be at their best throughout lockdown because people were at home. What's been pleasant to see is that we've now come out of lockdown, we've now come out of this pandemic, and the views are still escalating.
It's just growing, isn't it? And it's growing yeah. from strength to strength. And I think that's, you know, I think it's testimony to you guys that people do need a place to talk. Yeah, they do need to see, like, you know, it's always fun. Your show's always such good fun. There's such a good rapport that you have with your guests and your co-presenters, and you tackle, I think, like, serious and entertaining topics. Like, there's always a huge mix. So, and I know loads more people could get involved, couldn't they? You know, if you want to reach a bigger audience around Manchester, you can get involved, can't you? You can become.
Yeah, I mean,
how do people do that?
Well, we have what we call sponsorship packages, but we tend to not call them sponsorship because I don't like the word. It's affiliation. That's what I call it. We have our big sponsor. That's it, because that's what's got to pay for. And then the rest of everybody that gets involved, they're affiliates because they believe in the product. They want to believe in their own product. They want people to know about their product. That's exciting for us because we've got this platform now where we're able to get to, I think, around about 20,000 per week is what we include in the podcast and the little social medias and everything. And people can get their product or their brand or their events or their own personal story. They can, you know, we don't have, you know, many, no, we can't do that on the show. We have a lot of, let's see how we can make this work, because yeah. that's important for. That's why we put the tagline underneath where the city comes to talk, because that's what we want it to be. So if people do want to get involved, that all they need to do is drop us a simple line to the email, which is contactus@yourmcr.com. And we just go from there with chats. I mean, we've done it with you.
We've just been like working together, going from strength to strength, haven't we? So
yeah, and it's brilliant.
It is brilliant. It's such a great channel. And, you know, and you can watch it on all sorts of platforms as well, can't you? So I know I tune in via Facebook, but there are other ways that you can.
Yeah, there's YouTube. The best one that we've got up to so far is we're now on Sky Glass. So you can watch it via that. You can watch it via YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. The podcast is available as well because people like to listen to it when they're on the way to the car, in the car, on work. So the anything that you can, anything you can think of, I bet we're probably there.
Yeah, amazing.
Or so Manchester.
If you want to reach more people, you want to have some fun, you know, and people that do have products and services that become an affiliate or a partner or whatever, it's because they know they can serve other people, and you just bring the two together, don't you? And you just make it work in such an authentic way. So, I mean, you've been through so much. Your story is incredible. How you're resilient, how you bounce back, who inspires you. It's taken a huge amount of courage, I think, and confidence to be able to pick yourself up, to reinvent yourself when you've had to. And if there's somebody out there at the moment who maybe they're a bit scared to do what they really want to do, or they're struggling at the moment, what advice would you give them?
You know, I'm one of these people who likes to think about things for a little while, knowing full well that there's going to be an epilogue at the end of it. So if you're thinking about doing something, or, you know, I think the word is achieving. Everybody knows where they want to be, I think, at the end. Everybody knows what they want to achieve. How you do it is simply by trying to make it happen. That's all you can do in life. You've just got to try and try and try again. And eventually, I can almost guarantee you'll get to as near as damn it, that point up there where you want it to be.
So it's just keep going, isn't it?
Yeah.
Keep going, because you'll get there eventually. I think if you want it enough, you're going to do it and you'll make it happen, won't you? You have been a total incredible guest, and thank you so much for doing this. Just remind us again, if people want to get in touch, if they want to watch your Manchester, where do they come and connect with you?
Simply type in anything on Google. You can go to our website, which is yourmcr.com. Got all the links there that links you to everything, or you can contact us and have a little chat with us. Contact us at yourmcr.com.
Thank you, Belinda Scandal, your legend.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Mojo Matters podcast with Jo Britton. Tune in again for more practical advice on how to find your mojo and how to keep it.